Our message tonight comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Our focus will be verse 14, but we'll read the entire chapter to get a better grasp of what's going on. Typically, when we hear the phrase unequally yoked, our minds go straight to the topic of marital relationships. Now, unequally yoked does indeed, as you all know, apply to marital relationships, but God intended us to understand something far deeper than that with that term. The church at Corinth, it was placed in a city of commerce, a bustling city, with people coming in and going out, getting to see all the newest inventions, all the newest products, hearing all the stories from all over the world. It's relatively easy to avoid getting caught up in sin when you're in a small place with a small group of people living simply, kind of like us here tonight. But when you're in the middle of, say, New York City, and you've got the flashing lights, and you don't have all your people around you, and you have people coming from all over the world with hundreds of different points of view of life, including different religions, different takes on the true religion, and sinful indulgences at your fingertips, it gets harder to stay pure. The Corinthians were beginning to lose their purity. And the Apostle Paul was writing to them out of concern to get them back on track where they needed to be. They were starting to mingle the unholy with the holy. They were abusing grace. They had disorderly worship. They were abusing the sacraments. There were divisions among them as a people. There were moral failures. And Paul's teachings were being undermined by his opponents. In our passage, we're going to see how he reminds the Corinthian church to come back to their first love, and also reminds them of his authority to be able to say this thing to them. And so they needed to cut their unholy ties. They needed to cut their unholy ties in order to purify their walk in worship. That's a lesson for us today. Beloved, purify your walk and worship by cutting unholy ties. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Hear now the word of our Lord. Penned by Paul, preserved by the Holy Spirit for our instruction. And working together with him, we also urge you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For as he says, at the acceptable time I listened to you, and on the day of salvation I helped you. Behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Giving no cause for offense in anything, so that the ministry will not be discredited. But in everything, commending ourselves as servants of God, in much endurance, in afflictions, in hardships, in distresses, in beatings, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in sleeplessness, in hunger, in purity, in knowledge, in patience, in kindness, in the Holy Spirit, in genuine love, in the word of truth, in the power of God, by the weapons of righteousness for the right hand and the left, by glory and dishonor, by evil report and good report, regarded as deceivers and yet true, as unknown yet well known, as dying yet behold, we live. As punished, yet not put to death. as sorrowful, yet always rejoicing, as poor, yet making many rich, as having nothing, yet possessing all things. Our mouth has spoken freely to you, O Corinthians. Our heart is opened wide. You are not restrained by us, but you are restrained in your own affections. Now, in a like exchange, I speak as to children, but why to us also? Do not be bound together with unbelievers. For what partnership have righteousness and lawlessness? Or what fellowship has light with darkness? Or what harmony has Christ with Belial? Or what has a believer in common with an unbeliever? Or what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For we are the temple of the living God. Just as God said, I will dwell in them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from their midst and be separate, says the Lord, and do not touch what is unclean, and I will welcome you. And I will be a father to you, and you shall be sons and daughters to me, says the Lord Almighty. May our Lord bless the reading, hearing, and preaching of his word tonight in this place. Verse 14, do not be bound together with unbelievers. This verse, I'm reading from the New American Standard because it's the Bible that I would typically use, but this is one of the places where a better understanding of this verse is needed. The ESV gets this right by beginning this verse. Do not be unequally yoked with believers. And unequally yoked is a much better understanding than bound together, because it gives you more of the word picture that Apostle Paul is going for here. What is yoking? Now, surely many of you have seen farm animals at work. And many times they'll have that large wooden contraption over their necks that holds them together. And whoever's driving the team of animals will have ropes going to those, or straps that he can use to direct them. The thing around their neck is the yoke. It keeps the animals together in the same direction, doing the same job at the same time. You'll see two oxen, two horses, two water buffalo in some other countries. But you'll see two of the same type of animal, usually about the same size, about the same age, about the same temperament, working together. Because different animals have different temperaments. And you can't just throw any two animals together under a yoke and think that the job's going to get done, because it won't. And the Lord knew this and gave his people an early, early warning from yoking, from tying two different things together that they could use as an example for their spiritual lives. This comes from Deuteronomy chapter 22, verses 9 to 11. Hear this. And this is one of those passages that, until you really study it, seems to be just a collection of words, really. Deuteronomy 22, verses 9 to 11. You shall not sow your vineyard with two kinds of seed, or all the produce of the seed which you have sown, and the increase of the vineyard will become defiled. You shall not plow with an ox and a donkey together. You shall not wear a material mixed of wool and linen together. Now, like so many, when I first read that, I thought I was looking for the instant spiritual understanding, and it wasn't there. And I thought about the material understanding. I didn't get it then either. I had to really look at this, because our Lord was speaking to people who, for whom this was a daily life thing, and they got it right away. Here's what it is. The explanation of the seeds is right there in verse 9. If you're growing a wheat farm, you don't plant corn in with the wheat. Otherwise, you tend to lose both. How can you reap both together when it takes different machines doing different things at different times of the year? You lose your crop. Ox and donkey together. Oxen, big, strong, and when trained, very obedient. Donkeys, smaller, not as strong, and just about as obstinate a creature as you've ever seen. They very rarely ever want to do what you want them to do. I knew a farmer who had a donkey that he actually stopped trying to do anything with, and it just became like a family pet. And I saw it was a place on Route 19 going up north near Portersville, I believe it was. And I'd see this donkey all the time. Wow, donkey, neat. Finally, I saw the person who lived there, and I pulled over, and I got to talk with him a bit, and he told me he'd have gotten rid of that thing long ago if it weren't for his wife, because it wouldn't do anything he wanted it to do. And that was a common thing for donkeys. So if you need a field plowed, and you put an ox and a donkey together, you don't get straight furrows. You may have the two start fighting with each other. And since oxen tend to have horns and donkeys don't, not only does the work not get done, but that donkey's in danger. When you become unequally yoked, the work doesn't get done, and you put the unbeliever in danger. Because your God's not going to let go of you. He's going to get that unbeliever away from you. And if it has to hurt, then it has to hurt. But he's going to protect you. So avoiding the unequal yoke is for you and because you care about the unbeliever. There can be no intimate partnership for you with the world. There can be no partnership for you with the world. Here, verses 14, I'm going to read you part of 14 to part of 16 to give us a better understanding of this. What partnership have righteousness and lawlessness? Or what fellowship has light with darkness? Or what harmony has Christ with Belial? Or what has a believer in common with an unbeliever? Or what agreement has the temple of God with idols? How many times in Scripture, when a pagan wanted to defile the temple, did they bring foul things of their own religion into God's place of worship? They knew what would happen. It was their attempt to defile it. Can you imagine, if you will, our Lord Jesus Christ sitting over a cup of tea with Belial, another name for Satan, discussing evangelism strategies? No. There is no fellowship there because the goals are completely different. The direction of life is completely different. The soul is completely different. Ephesians 2:10 tells us, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them." The chief work of the Christian is to love the Lord with all that you are. The second part of that job is to love your neighbor as yourself. These are the chief works of the Christian. That is what your yoke is intended to have you do. And this makes you very, very different from the rest of the world. The goal of the world is to serve self, to love self, to get all self can get. And he who has the most toys when he dies wins. That is completely opposite of who you are in Jesus Christ. And because it is different, come out from among them. Come out from among them. Here are verses 14 and 17. "Do not be bound together with unbelievers, for what partnership have righteousness and lawlessness? Or what fellowship has light with darkness? Therefore, come out from their midst and be separate, says the Lord, and do not touch what is unclean, and I will welcome you. I will welcome you. The Apostle Paul here takes us directly to the Old Testament covenants, because that's what is at the heart of being unequally yoked. It's a breaking of covenant that God has made clear. I'm just going to read a few to. I'll read them to you quickly. If you want to write them down, fine. You may not have time to turn to them. Leviticus 26, 12 to 16 tells us this. I will also walk among you and be your God, and you shall be my people. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt so that you would not be their slaves. And I broke the bars of your yoke and made you walk erect. But if you do not obey me and do not carry out all these commandments, if instead you reject my statutes, and if your soul abhors my ordinances so as not to carry out all my commandments and so break my covenants, I in turn will do this to you. I will appoint over you a sudden terror, consumption, and fever that will waste away the eyes and cause the soul to pine away. Also, you will sow your seed uselessly, for your enemies will eat it up. Your enemies will eat it up. This is the word of the Lord. Jeremiah 32, 37 to 39. Jeremiah 32, 37 to 39. Behold, I will gather them out of all the lands to which I have driven them in my anger, in my wrath, and in great indignation. And I will bring them back to this place and make them dwell in safety. They shall be my people, and I will be their God. And I will give them one heart and one way, that they may fear me always, for their own good, and for the good of their children after them. Another covenant statement of our Lord, just verifying that what he has said is absolutely 100% totally true. Isaiah chapter 52, verse 11. Isaiah 52, 11. Depart, depart. Go out from there. Touch nothing unclean. Go out of the midst of her. Purify yourselves, you who carry the vessels of the Lord. This is what Paul has quoted. But what does it mean? What is this coming out? How do you come out from among them? 1 Corinthians chapter 5. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 6 to 13. 6-13. Hear the words of our Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 6 to 13. Your boasting is not good. Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump of dough? Clean out the old leaven, so that you may be a new lump, just as you are, in fact, unleavened. For Christ, our Passover, also has been sacrificed. Therefore, let us celebrate the feast, not with old leaven, nor with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. I wrote you in my letter not to associate with immoral people. I did not at all mean with the immoral people of this world, or with the covetous and swindlers, or with idolaters, for then you would have to go out of the world. But actually, I wrote to you not to associate with any so-called brother, if he is an immoral person, or covetous, or an idolater, or a reviler, or a drunkard, or a swindler, not even to eat with such a one. For what have I to do with judging outsiders? Do you not judge those who are within the church? But those who are outside, God judges. Remove the wicked man from among yourselves. first and foremost. First and foremost. Avoiding being unequally yoked means to protect the integrity of godly worship. To protect the integrity of godly worship. Because a little leaven leavens the whole dough. You can't avoid shopping. You can't avoid going to the market. You've got to go to work. You've got to walk down the street from time to time. We have to do business at a certain level with pagans. It's that simple. Every time you pay a bill, the odds are very good you're sending the money to a pagan. There is a degree of interaction which must happen. Paul was not saying to live as, say, the Amish do, in an attempt, because even they can't do it 100%, but in an attempt to put a huge physical distance between you and the unsaved. The goal of being equally yoked is preserving the purity of godly worship. And what happens when you get too close to an unbeliever? You've got leaven getting into you. And it starts to weigh you down, to drag you down. Unequal yoking is any time you weigh down the holy with the unholy. That's unequal yoking. When you weigh down the holy with the unholy. I have an exercise that I have young people that I know do when I try to explain to them the danger of being unequally yoked. I tell them to stand shoulder to shoulder. And then I have one of them turn in the other direction. So one's facing this way, the other's facing that way. And then I say, okay, now link arms. And they link arms together. And then I say, okay, now walk forward. What happens? They're struggling, they're fighting. Because each one is going in a completely opposite direction. The best they can hope for is a circle. But they may get something worse. One may overpower the other. Start forward, the other one falls, hits his head. They may trip, break a leg. They are going in opposite directions, as are you, beloved, compared to the world. Beware of being closely tied with the world. If you do business, be careful not to become too closely contracted with an unbelieving business. Why? Because no matter what the standard of that unbeliever is, at some point, he or she is going to want you to compromise your Christian belief. You're different from them. Your call is completely the opposite of theirs. No matter how high their standard of morality, it doesn't include glorifying God. And that's your chief job. That's job number one for you. So although you have to do business at times with unbelievers, beware how closely contracted you are. Beware becoming a partner with them. Because the world is watching. Have you ever heard a term, missionary dating? This is what it's called when someone dates an unbeliever, hoping that at some point God will convert them. This is the truth about missionary dating. Okay? The Lord has already told you that when you were unsaved, you were spiritually dead. Now you are alive. The spiritual equivalent of missionary dating is walking onto a battlefield, picking a nice looking corpse and saying, that would be a great spouse for me. They're dead. You're not. Don't do it. Don't do it. Because it will not have a good ending. Don't make your closest friends of unbelievers. Because even as they care about you, and they may do that, they may truly have you in their heart. When the bottom line comes, and the tough choice for Christ has to be made, they're going to call you a fool and tell you not to go that way. And listen, beloved, it's going to work. Because you've let a little leaven in. And now the dough that is your spiritual life is infected. You have bound yourself with the walking dead. Come out from among them. Come out from their midst. You don't have to hate them. But you can't let them in here. You can care about them. You can even cry for them. But when you go to them, when you want to go to your best friend and say, my heart is broken because of this, you need someone who's going to say, let's pray. You need someone who's going to say, this is what God has said. The unbeliever isn't going to do that. Don't be unequally yoked. Don't weigh down the holy with the unholy. The yoke that you want, and there is a yoke that you want, the yoke that you want is Jesus' yoke. The yoke for you is Jesus' yoke. Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 to 30, describe this for us in the most beautiful terms. Matthew 11, 28 to 30, listen. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden light. We've explored the meaning of those words. We've explored the relational aspect of it. But there's more. Constantly be checking what you believe. Because the leaven of the Pharisees gets in very easily. The Corinthians were forgetting about grace. And they were starting to believe that perhaps they could earn a bit of their salvation. Is that a part of what you believe? Then you've become unequally yoked, if it is. And you need to get that out. It's leaven, and it's infecting you. Perhaps someone in your life has convinced you of something that simply isn't true in Scripture. But you've believed them. You've trusted them because you know this person, and they wouldn't lie to you, so you run with it, rather than being Berean and testing everything. Is that thing true? Or have you become unequally yoked and muddied the purity of your walk in worship? Check what you believe on a regular basis. Test all things the Scriptures tell us. The yoke of Christ fits you perfectly. Don't put cracks in it. Don't put cracks in it. It fits you perfectly because it was made exactly for you and no one else. The burden. His burden is light. The burden is what you are pulling with your yoke. The burden is the work that you're doing. When you are equally yoked, you and that other Christian, no matter whether it's a marital relationship, friendship, business alliance, whatever it might be, the greatest job, love God with everything that you are, gets done. 1A, and love your neighbor as yourself, gets done. because you don't have the ox and the donkey doing this. You've got the ox and the ox. The furrows are straight. The seed is planted. And a harvest can grow. The fruit of equal yoking. How then, knowing this, are you to live? Verse 17. Therefore, come out from their midst and be separate, says the Lord, and do not touch what is unclean, and I will welcome you. Bad company corrupts good morals. That's 1 Corinthians 15:33. A little leaven leavens the whole dough. 1 Corinthians 5:65. Make your walk, make your worship pure by cutting unholy ties. Now, I don't want to say this without addressing something. You may find yourself in an unequally yoked relationship right now. Particularly if it's a marital relationship, the apostle who has just told us to beware being unequally yoked has given hope for that person in that unequally yoked relationship. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, beginning at verse 12. Hear this. It's a teaching on marriage from the Apostle Paul. But to the rest I say, not the Lord, that if any brother has a wife who is an unbeliever and she consents to live with him, he must not divorce her. And a woman who has an unbelieving husband and he consents to live with her, she must not send her husband away. For the unbelieving husband is sanctified through his wife, and the unbelieving wife is sanctified through her believing husband. For otherwise, your children are unclean, but now they are holy. Yet, if the unbelieving one leaves, let him leave. The brother or the sister is not under bondage in such cases, but God has called us to peace. For how do you know, O wife, whether you will save your husband? Or how do you know, O husband, whether you will save your wife? If you find yourself in this difficult position, or you know someone in that position, let them hear that. Let them hear the word of Christ. Let it dwell in them richly, because they need that encouragement. This sermon is not intended to heap guilt upon someone who has already entered into that type of relationship. And there are different ways that comes about. You could have two people who are both married at the time that when they were married, they were both unsaved. The Lord saves one, and at that point, they are unequally yoked. You may have someone who married an unbeliever intentionally, or was fooled into thinking that person was a believer, and thus they are unequally yoked. God knows that. God addresses that. But if you are not already in that situation, don't get into it, because you're asking to hurt yourself, and to hurt that unbeliever too. It's not God's way. That is not God's way. That does not fulfill love. In closing, we're going to go back to the Old Testament again. Another covenant. A beautiful covenant promise. 2 Samuel chapter 7. 2 Samuel chapter 7, verses 12 to 14. It tells us this. When your days are complete, and you lie down with your fathers, I will raise up your descendant after you, who will come forth from you, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be a father to him, and he will be a son to me. When he commits iniquity, I will correct him with the rod of men and the strokes of the sons of men. But my loving kindness shall not depart from him, as I took it away from Saul, whom I removed before you. Your house and your kingdom shall endure before me forever. Your throne shall be established forever Obviously, our Lord is talking about Jesus Christ. Now you say, but Christ didn't commit iniquity? No, but he took on yours. And he took the beatings of men in order to provide salvation. And in verse 18 of our passage today, from 2 Corinthians, Paul quotes from this passage. Why? To show you that as you come out from their midst and you purify yourself, this promise applies to you. He will be your father. You will be his child. Come out from the world. Devote all that you are, all that you have, to Jesus Christ. Let go of what the world offers, because what it offers is not worth it. It is not worth him. It is not worth you. Make that clean break in relationships and in your beliefs. Purify your walk and your worship by cutting unholy ties. Let's pray together. Our gracious Heavenly Father, you did it all. Simply put, you did it all. And in gratitude, we will give all to you. Help us to examine ourselves daily, Lord, to see if any false belief has been added to the holiness of your grace and love, and to be rid of it. Help us to examine the priorities of our life. And if an unholy thing has become a priority, help us to be rid of it. Help us to examine the relationships in our lives. And if we have given too much priority, too much intimacy, too much faith to something unholy, help us to fix it. Help us to rely on one another, Lord, in reliance on you, to share with one another if there is a problem, to ask for help where help is needed, but by all means, to purify our walk in worship by cutting those unholy ties. To your glory, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.